It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harris in for Celeste Headlee. Last week, the U.S. Senate lifted the veil of secrecy on its plan to overhaul America's healthcare system. A vote on the bill won't happen until after the July 4th recess. However, it appears clear that any legislation will significantly impact Medicaid in Georgia. We may see deep cuts and other restructuring for the first time in half a century. With me to talk about this is Andy Miller, editor of Georgia Health News, Laura Harker. She is health policy analyst for the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, and Caroline Mortensen is on the line with us. She is a professor of health sector management and policy at the University of Miami. Good morning to each of you.
Good to be here.
Yeah, boy, I need your help. I need your help. I'm trying to get good information that I can understand, that I can process, that I can trust.
Yes.
So will you help me here? So here's my first question. Why do you believe, in the final analysis, it seems pretty straightforward and simple, why the Senate bill was pulled?
I would say that there still needs to be some time to really think about some of the cuts to Medicaid that would happen with a cap, as well as some of the changes to the marketplace. Some people would have fewer subsidies to help them pay for insurance. And so we really have to take some time to think about how people would be affected and who would lose coverage.
So Medicaid concerns and marketplace
concerns.
Andy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this bill has many more losers than winners. Not only are 22 million people going to lose coverage as a result if this bill becomes law, but as Laura pointed out, the Medicaid program will go through substantial cuts, and we may see people lose benefits. Many people lose benefits and eligibility for this vital program.
Yeah, and Caroline, what's your view on this? So more losers than winners, as Andy sort of outlined here in the Senate proposal as it stands now. We know that it's going to be reworked.
I agree with both Andy and Laura. And we have to keep in mind what we have are two things going on here. First, the cuts to Medicaid that are included in the replacement bills, but also the $800 billion in cuts that are included in the Trump budget. So combined, even if this version of the replacement bill doesn't go through, we still have President Trump looking at significant cuts to the Medicaid program. And you have very few Republicans that actually approve of any of the elements of the replacement bill right now.
You know, so Andy, I read an estimate that the Senate version of this bill could lead to even more Georgians without health insurance than the 720,000 estimate under the House version passed in May. Is that an accurate number based on the reporting you've done?
Well, we're looking at anywhere from 680,000 to 700,000. Those are just estimates based on what the CBO has estimated. Many of those people right now could be in Medicaid. They could have private insurance, but they'll drop out because either they won't qualify for the Medicaid coverage anymore or the private insurance will be too expensive for them under this bill.
Yeah. Laura, is there a big hit to come, maybe already in place, for hospitals in Georgia with the passage of some version of the AHCA?
Yes, we have done some analysis on how the Medicaid cuts would affect hospitals. And the Medicaid share by hospital varies, but hospitals on average in rural areas receive about 13% of their revenue from Medicaid. So any cuts to Medicaid would significantly affect all hospitals' bottom lines.
So we spoke with Kelly McCutcheon, president of the Georgia Public Policy Foundation. He says the new bill that's being reworked now will actually help simplify family Medicaid plans.
Children and parents should be able to be on the same plan. If one child's on Peach Care and the mother is on Medicaid, they should be able to be on the same plan. Integrating those funding streams is something that Georgia could do with a waiver and that this bill allows.
So, Caroline, I guess part of the reason that we wanted to have this discussion is to get a better handle on what is accurate information. Is Kelly accurate there? Many of us are trying to figure this out.
Sure. I think in a lot of ways Medicaid could be improved and simplified, but it is a cost-effective way to provide affordable health insurance coverage to a lot of people who need it. So I think simplification makes sense, but how do you simplify as you're simultaneously cutting the budget, cutting the increases in growth over time? Mm-hmm. So you're saying become more simple and become better while we fund you less and less.
So what seems absolutely clear, I think, to each and every one of us here is that the big shiny object to be whacked is Medicaid, correct?
Anyway. Well, yeah, $800 billion or somewhere along that number over 10 years, that's a lot of money, and it translates into states are going to have to make more decisions as to how they're going to, who's going to be covered, and if they have less money, who are they going to, are they going to drop people, some people, like people who get waivers in the community to stay in the community? These are people with disabilities. Are they going to, you know, just eligibility cuts, benefit cuts, or cuts to providers and pay doctors and hospitals less?
So this is Kelly McCutcheon again from the Georgia Public Policy Foundation.
Georgia and other states, we spend about 50% less than the national average on our aged and disabled, most expensive population in Medicaid. The CMS director now is authorized to bump us up to 2 percentage points a year until we are within 25% of the national average. That's fantastic for Georgia. So I think that the worry about cuts is a little overwrought. I think if you read the bill and continue to analyze the impact on Georgia, it's not going to be as bad as people think.
So, Laura, Andy, Caroline, who believes that Kelly actually has a point here when he says that concern about the proposed cuts has gotten a bit overwrought?
I would say that Georgia does already spend a low amount of money on Medicaid compared to other states. And if we were locked in with a cap, that would lock us in at a low rate. So even if we were bumped up, it may not be sufficient to keep up with economic downturns or higher costs of health care as that occurs.
And Caroline, do you have a take on what Kelly is saying here?
Sure. I think big picture, it would be great to see a state like Georgia benefit from something like this, but it sounds like it might be at the peril of other states that are in the United States. I wanted to focus back on that 22 million number as well. I don't think we should focus so much on the number. The number is important, but I think we should focus on President Trump's promise, which was better, lower cost health care for everyone with no cuts to Medicaid. And nowhere in here do you see that. So I think we should focus on the magnitude of these insurance losses that we'll see over time and that we were promised that this wouldn't happen.
Let's talk about that. But before we get to that point, and maybe it's addressed a little bit here, here's a former Georgia congressman and current Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price talking about the proposed Medicaid cuts on CNN recently.
The Medicaid proposal in the Senate bill goes up every single year that the plan's in place. What our goal is to make it so folks on Medicaid, the most vulnerable in our society, those moms and kids and the seniors and the disabled, that program works for them in a way that allows them to get the kind of care and the coverage that they need. To those who are also in the vulnerable category, that they're able to get the kind of coverage that they want and need for their family.
And Caroline, I hear you saying that the president made a clear promise about health care that he is not keeping, either with his budget proposals or with what's being worked out in the Senate right now.
I think that's right. And I think just listening to what Secretary Price said, he's talking about changing over time the federal proportion of the Medicaid expansion, which will put a greater burden on the states. If you look at just the last few years of the expansion, the federal government has paid $70 billion of that, and states have only had to bear $4 billion. Part of this replacement plan is that the burden on the states will continue to increase.
So, Andy, when Republicans, when Senate Republicans, House Republicans take a look at Medicaid, what do they see? How do they view Medicaid?
I think it depends largely on whether those people are from states that have expanded Medicaid versus those that haven't. If you listen to John Kasich in Ohio, the governor of Ohio, if you talk to Dean Heller, who's one of these senators who have said no to this plan, they have seen real progress in those states that expanded in terms of if you just look at the people with opioid addictions. That expansion population, that program has actually helped those people get services that they need to get treatment. And so those states, those 31 states, representatives from them, have really seen some impact, some positive impact from Medicaid expansion.
You know, and Andy, stay with that point here. Remind us of everything and everyone covered by Medicaid.
There's 2 million people in Georgia.
Yeah.
There, two-thirds of them are kids. These are kids from poor families. It also covers more than 70% of people in nursing homes in this state. Medicaid covers more than half of the births in the state, childbirths in the state. So it's a tremendously important program, that really impacts, 20% of our population.
And Laura, what happens to those people? We're talking about proposals that would slow the rate of spending, right, in Medicaid?
Yes, I think it would be especially concerning for people who have long-term care needs, like people with disabilities or seniors who are getting care in nursing homes. As Andy mentioned, Medicaid pays for a lot of the long-term care services in the state. And so these are services people need for the long term, and any cuts will affect their ability to be productive.
Caroline, Florida, like Georgia, didn't expand Medicaid under the ACA. How is that working out in Florida?
Well, right around the time that the expansion was occurring in other states, Florida moved the vast majority of our fee-for-service Medicaid enrollees into a managed care program. And so although we didn't expand it to more people, you have about 3.6 million people in Florida who have Medicaid coverage. And in my research, I've been able to find that moving them to managed care and guaranteeing them access to a primary care provider has started to increase their access to health care, and we see some better health outcomes for them. But this is not addressing people who are left in the gap because they didn't expand Medicaid. You see, though, that more people in South Florida purchased on the exchanges with the subsidies than any other zip code in the United States. So the subsidies on the exchanges for low-income individuals to purchase into private health insurance coverage has been sort of the success story coming out of Florida.
We asked Atlantans, do you think having Medicaid coverage is important? Here are some responses.
Miriam Panton, and I live in Brookhaven. Yes, it is important because not everybody is fortunate to have their personal health insurance.
My name is Zach Davison. The very few people I know that have Medicaid, they are able to go and get seen when they can't afford private insurance and they can't afford the high medical bills.
Shinka Kareem, Atlanta, Georgia.
I definitely think that it is. And, my grandmother had used it, before she passed and different things like that. So it had been beneficial to her. It's been beneficial to my relatives.
So Andy, Caroline, Laura, look, I need some real clarity on this next one. The question is the Affordable Care Act actually collapsing? Here's Paul Ryan defending the need to replace the Affordable Care Act.
This law is collapsing. It's in a tailspin. We have a duty and an obligation to step in front of that collapse and rescue the healthcare system for people who are in the individual market. Every Republican senator campaigned on repealing and replacing this law.
Well, that's the House Speaker, Paul Ryan. Laura, to you first. Is the Affordable Care Act collapsing?
In the recent Congressional Budget Office study, they did find that most markets are relatively stable, especially in urban areas, so in Metro Atlanta. Rural areas are seeing a little bit more difficulty because there are less insurers there and less people to enroll. But overall, those people in rural areas are protected because most of them get a subsidy to help them afford insurance.
Caroline?
I agree with everything she just said. So we need to remember that most Americans feel that the Republicans and Trump own the Affordable Care Act. It is the law of the land, and that is our administration. And they are not doing their best efforts to make sure that this plan stays successful. There are small things that they could do. There are some payments to insurers that they could guarantee, some promises to insurers that it's okay to cover these high-risk populations, and the Trump administration is unwilling to make those commitments. And so understandably, some of the insurers are pulling out of some of the markets.
So wait a minute, Andy. We all at the table don't agree on this. I mean, is the Affordable Care Act collapsing as the House Speaker suggests?
Well, I think there are certain areas of the state and the country where it's not working like it should. There are problems with insurers, not enough competition. And what health insurers look for is stability and certainty. And they're seeing a lot of uncertainty and chaos coming out of Washington right now. They're not being guaranteed the subsidies that help people offset their out-of-pocket costs. And they're also listening to the administration not enforcing the individual mandate from the Affordable Care Act. And so many of them are making business decisions to not cover certain areas, certain geographies of this state and other states.
And Andy, what are the Georgia politics here around this issue? Better to pass a bill even if it leaves more Georgians uninsured, underinsured than not to fulfill a promise?
Well, I think that's, they have gone on record for 7 years saying we need to repeal and replace Obamacare. But now that they're they're actually having to do this. I mean, and they're seeing how difficult it is to come up with a solution that can be popular and can work and cover just as many people or more. It's a very, very difficult proposition that they're looking at.
Laura, what's your take on the politics at play here?
I agree with what Andy is saying. Now that we're 6 months or so into this process of trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act, seeing the concern from people who may lose coverage or benefits through Medicaid or the marketplace, there's a lot of concern from a lot of people.
Thank you all. Thank you all for the conversation. That's Andy Miller. He's the editor of Georgia Health News. You also heard from Laura Harker. She is the health policy analyst for the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, and Caroline Mortensen, professor of health sector management and policy at the University of Miami. Thank you all again.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.